Percy Jackson wakes up with no memory except his name, hunted by Gorgon sisters who refuse to stay dead when killed. One bizarrely offers him poisoned cheese samples while trying to murder him, a surreal customer service approach to assassination. These monsters serve the Earth goddess Gaia, who's stirring from millennia of slumber. Despite his amnesia, Percy's combat reflexes remain intact. He can fight expertly even when he can't remember learning how. At a crossroads, Percy encounters an old woman who introduces herself as June. She offers him an impossible choice: escape to the safety of the ocean that mysteriously calls to him, or carry her to a nearby camp at great personal risk. The sea beckons with familiar comfort, but something in Percy, some core value that transcends memory, makes him choose to help the stranger. This decision changes everything. June transforms into her true form as Juno, Roman goddess of family, and announces Percy as the son of Neptune at Camp Jupiter, a military-style training ground for Roman demigods. Here, Percy must navigate a rigid hierarchy, where Neptune's children are considered bad luck, where his instincts clash with Roman discipline, and where his forgotten Greek past creates an identity crisis that will define his journey. What makes us who we are when our memories are stolen? Percy's struggle suggests our core character exists independently of our personal history. We remain ourselves even when we can't remember who that is. Unlike the cabin-based Camp Half-Blood from Percy's forgotten past, Camp Jupiter operates as a military legion with 5 cohorts of 40 demigods each, where Roman identity supersedes godly parentage. The camp replicates ancient Rome with aqueducts and fortifications, while New Rome offers adult demigods a safe place to raise families, a future unavailable at Camp Half-Blood. The social hierarchy reflects Roman values. First and second cohorts enjoy prestige, while the fifth, Percy's cohort, bears disgrace. Neptune's temple stands neglected with moldy offerings, with prejudice extending to his children, creating immediate challenges for Percy. The 12th Legion Fulminata has preserved ancient traditions since Rome's fall, including eagle standards, military formations, and SPQR tattoos marking legionnaires. Ancestral spirits, called Lares, connect campers to their heritage, giving Roman demigods a sense of belonging that contrasts with Greek individualism, which Percy subconsciously prefers when he instinctively fights alone rather than in formation. Hazel Levesque died in 1940s New Orleans, sacrificing herself to delay the giant Alcyoneus before her brother Nico resurrected her. Her curse summoning gold and gems that bring misfortune came from her mother's wish to Pluto. "I died once for a bad cause. I'd rather die twice for a good one," she tells Frank, determined to make her second chance count. Frank Zhang's life is tied to a half-consumed piece of firewood. He inherited his ancestor Periclymenus's gift to transform into animals, blending his Chinese, Roman, and Greek heritage. Entrusting his life stick to Hazel shows profound trust. His mother's final words, "You can be anything," become literal as Frank masters his transformation ability, becoming whatever his team needs. Have you ever felt your life was tied to something fragile? Frank's journey reminds us that acknowledging vulnerability often becomes our greatest strength. When Mars claims Frank as his son, he tasks them with freeing death in Alaska. Percy and Hazel join Frank with just 4 days to reach the land beyond the gods, where divine powers weaken, and return before the Feast of Fortuna determines Camp Jupiter's fate. Their northward journey grows perilous. Griffin attacks lead Frank to discover his skeleton summoning ability using his father's spear with its dragon tooth tip. A treacherous muskeg nearly claims Percy and Hazel, who resist Gaia's temptations. Alaska stands vast and beautiful, yet deadly. Spectacular coastlines and mirror-like lakes contrast with treacherous terrain and the thunderous Hubbard Glacier, nature's beauty concealing dangers. Without godly help, the trio relies on their own abilities and allies like Arion, the immortal horse only Hazel can ride. Each challenge develops them. Percy leads despite missing memories, Hazel confronts her past, and Frank embraces his powers despite insecurities. Their quest culminates at Hubbard Glacier, where a frozen Camp Jupiter replica holds chained Thanatos. Death appears as a handsome figure with teakwood skin, honey-gold eyes, and black wings. His chains require the fire of life to melt, creating a paradox where freeing him demands sacrificing life. Frank burns more of his life stick, knowingly shortening his lifespan to complete their mission. The giant Alcyoneus, born to oppose Pluto/Hades and resurrected using Hazel's blood, cannot die in Alaska. Percy's solution? Drag him across the Canadian border where his immortality fails. With death freed, monsters can no longer instantly reform when killed. The ghostly Roman legionnaires return to the underworld, and death allows Hazel to remain alive despite being an escapee, sensing fate has new plans for her. The team recovers the Legion's Eagle Standard, a lightning-summoning weapon, and races back toward Camp Jupiter, where the giant Polybotes leads an army against them. The eagle becomes both a powerful weapon and symbolic victory for the fifth cohort. Arriving for the Feast of Fortuna, our heroes find Camp Jupiter under siege by monsters led by the giant Polybotes. Percy rallies the Legion with the recovered Eagle Standard, creating an effective fighting style that blends Greek improvisation with Roman discipline. Each hero demonstrates their growth in battle. Frank leads a cohort with strategic brilliance honoring Mars, while Hazel disrupts enemy ranks by controlling precious metals. Percy confronts Polybotes directly, knowing giants require god-demigod cooperation to defeat. In a climactic moment, Percy partners with Terminus, the boundary god statue without arms, Percy providing the physical force Terminus lacks. This partnership perfectly embodies overcoming limitations through cooperation. For his valor, Percy is elevated to Praetor of the 12th Legion. The celebration is brief. With his memories restored, Percy understands Juno/Hera's plan to unite Greek and Roman demigods against Gaia. As the Greek warship Argo II appears, carrying Camp Half-Blood demigods, Percy prepares to introduce his two families, a diplomatic challenge potentially harder than facing giants. The novel concludes with the prophecy of Seven gaining clarity. Seven half-bloods shall answer the call. Frank, Hazel, and Percy represent three heroes, with four more approaching on the Greek warship. Each brings unique abilities essential for confronting Gaia. Percy, versed in both Greek and Roman traditions, becomes the glue that will unite the Seven, as Juno explains. The approaching warship carries both alliance hopes and echoes of ancient betrayals. The prophecy suggests combining different perspectives is necessary to overcome great threats. Frank's mixed heritage, Hazel's 1940s perspective, and Percy's dual camp experience demonstrate the power of embracing multiple traditions. This resonates with our world, where challenges require cross-border cooperation. Strength comes from harmony between distinct voices, not uniformity. As Percy watches the Argo II descend, he embodies both anticipation and anxiety about uniting historically opposed forces, leaving us wondering if ancient enmities can be overcome.